We're back to the Neil Haley Show, and I love new segments. And I also love this guest I'm talking about, so I'm excited to welcome to the program. This is the Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver segment. Dave, how are you? The celebrity segment. Dave, I know you're excited about our guest today.
I'm very excited because I'm a bluegrass fan. I'm a hee-haw fan, so that's a double whammy.
All right, so go ahead and introduce our guest.
Well, this is Jenna J. Am I pronouncing it right?
You're right, Dave. And you're a long ways away, but you sound like you're next door. I'm so glad to talk to you this morning.
Oh, well, you are an amazing lady. I've been reading up on you. Ladies Division National Fiddling Championship. Continued performing internationally. Leader of her own band with orchestra. And what are you, in your 70s? Oh, my gosh. And you've played with Dick Skaggs, Clint Atkins.
What on earth are you reading? We never talk years.
Wikipedia. You ever heard of it?
Oh, yeah. You know, Wikipedia has me wrong. I need to get somebody.
Oh, really? We'll give you the opportunity to correct it then.
Oh, well, I think I better get somebody to correct that Wikipedia for sure. But anyway, yeah, you got most of it right. And I've been playing since I was 2 years old. And my folks both my folks both went to Juilliard, not too far from you guys. And Juilliard Music School, you know, and famed School of Music in New York City.
Wow.
And so that's
Juilliard,
where I
too. They didn't say that. That's great.
Yeah. They both went to Juilliard, both violinists. That's where they met. And my dad thought I was going to be a child prodigy. His child prodigy. Oh, wow. I had to practice an hour a day at age 2. But my granddaddy, my mom's dad, was a champion fiddle player. So guess what happened?
Jenna, you became a fiddle player then, right? You became a fiddle player.
Well, I do both. I do both, but my living has been, you know, hee-haw kind of brought me to the national scene and made a real career in music possible because of all that wonderful exposure. And I'm still playing with my hee-haw friends. We were doing some touring this fall. So I'm really excited about that. They're wonderful folks. We had a great, great run, you know, there on Hee Haw. That show, I wasn't on it all the time, but that show ran for 26 years.
Holy cow.
And, oh, that's amazing.
And syndication, the networks all turned it down. They thought, oh, it's too hokey. They turned it down and it ran in syndication heavy viewership for 26 years. So after appreciate Hee-Haw.
That's Appalachian prejudice. That's what that is.
Right. Well, you know, it was kind of almost a spinoff from Laugh In. Laugh In was real popular right then, and this was kind of a country version in a way. But they had really good music and all the current stars.
Oh, yeah.
You had to be on Hee Haw to be anybody, and when you're trying to make it in the business. And so the music was really, really good. And of course the girls were pretty, and that was my favorite part. Of course. And there was a lot. We're going to have Misty on our show this fall. Misty and Lulu and Buck Trent. Roy has been a little bit under the weather, but he's getting lots better, so he may join us too. You never know.
Well, you know, that was before country was cool. In fact, that might have made country cool.
I think it did. I think you have it exactly right. Yeah. Brought it to every American home. Yeah.
So, Jenna,
how did you first become a star on Hee Haw? I mean, was it Buck?
It was Buck I became a member of Buck's band, and that took me to Hee Haw. And then, yeah, I was the world's first Buckarette, he would say on stage.
What?
But I, you know, the we did.
How'd you meet him?
How did I meet Buck? It was Redding, California, and I was teaching. I had started a string program, was teaching, well, in grade school, high school, and the college. And wow. Kind of, yeah, so it was real busy, and that one, this guy at the college said, hey, to me, said, hey, you've got to meet Buck Owens. He's coming to town to do a couple shows here at the college. I said, okay, well, if I can. And he told Buck, you've got to meet this girl. She's just a great fiddle player. You just got to meet her. So he is the one who arranged for us to meet. So he did. Buck did two shows. I went backstage in between the shows, met Buck, and I had a full day of teaching. You know, I really wasn't really expecting to be on stage, but I was really looking forward to meeting Buck, of course. And then he said, you got to play Orange Blossom Special. Can you play that? I said, oh, yeah, every fiddle player in the world can play Orange Blossom Special. He had me play a little bit for him backstage. And so they brought me on, and I played Orange Blossom with Don Rich on stage. And that was almost Don's last show. But, you know, he was killed in a tragically killed in a motorcycle accident. So I don't know.
Jana, that's amazing. Now, what struck you so much about amazing. Buck? What struck you so much with Buck when meeting him? What kind of gave you that wow factor to say, okay, I want to continue to talk to this guy?
Yeah. Well, I really wasn't thinking about, you know, future with Buck. I wanted Jack McFadden, his manager, I wanted him to book my bluegrass band. And so I kept in touch with Jack, called him about every week. Oh, Buck wowed me, of course. I mean, Buck was just a real true professional and, you know, was just awesome on stage. And when they brought me on stage, you know, it brought the house down because Buck egged the audience on for sure. And he always did that. You know, he was a real showman. So, of course, I was impressed with Buck. But I had asked Jack McFadden, the manager, to book our bluegrass band. I said, we've got this fantastic bluegrass band. We're playing out at the French Gulch Hotel, packing them in, and blah, blah, blah. And so about every week or two, we'd talk to each other just briefly about the bluegrass band and what I was doing and so forth. Well, we were playing in the summer. I was free, of course, and so we agreed to play at Tia Maria's in Sacramento. And one day I got a call from Jack McFadden, and he said, I need you to get down here to Bakersfield. I need to get you down here right away. Just see, get a plane ticket and get down here. I said, well, is this for the bluegrass?
That's my neighborhood now.
Okay. We're close to Bakersfield.
I'm in Castaic Lake. I got a gas station right on Interstate 5 at the bottom of the Grapevine.
You're kidding.
You probably pulled in to my gas station at one time or another to use the restroom, because everybody does.
I probably have been there more than once. No, because yeah. I used to make that drive all the time.
Jenna, how about Pittsburgh?
How about to get from north to south?
How about Pittsburgh? Yes. Have you played in Pittsburgh, Jenna?
It's been a long time since I've been in Pittsburgh, but I do love Pennsylvania. That's my roots. My dad's family, they're not really Amish. They were Brethren, but they're all in East Stroudsburg and Hershey area, and we have a Meyer Cemetery back there, and, you know, a lot of family still. Wonderful, wonderful people. My granddad was president of the Elizabethtown College, and, anyway, they were wonderful people, and from that area, and still have family roots there. So I love Pennsylvania. I need to come back there. In fact, I talked to a gal about booking me into Pennsylvania. So, you know, can you tell I love playing and meeting people and being in different parts of the country and the world? I really do love sharing music. And
I love that. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm just on fire about it still. I just love doing it. And we're putting on this festival this weekend. We've got people coming from all over the country. And it's just an exciting, exciting thing to do, you know, when you see people really enjoying music and sharing.
Yeah, I'm so excited that you're so excited. I can tell that this isn't just a job for you, that this isn't a 9-to-5. You're really having fun in the sunset years of your life. That's my wish, too.
Yeah, I love it. I just love it. It's great. I don't feel sunset. I feel like things are just starting.
You don't sound sunset either.
We're going to Romania this summer. I will have performed in 50 countries at that time. So that takes a few years to do that.
Jenna performed in Romania, is going to perform in Romania, but maybe never Pittsburgh. You're going to have to go back to your list. It's funny. Go Romania before Pittsburgh, but you have to come there for sure, Jenna.
Okay. I'll do it. Yeah, I want to meet you in person. That would be wonderful.
And I'd love to meet you in person as well. You hit both sides of the coast.
Oh, yes. Well, see, that's why I ended up in Tulsa and Grove in Oklahoma, because it's right in the center and I can go any direction and get back home. And because when I went out on my own, after being with the Buckaroos and Buck, they were booking me on Jim Halsey Company in Tulsa, started booking me, and they were sending me from California all the way to the East Coast, you know, and it'd take me a day to fly out there and a day to fly back, two little kids. And, you know, it was wearing. So I ended up, the Jim Halsey Company was starting the Tulsa Opry and a few other endeavors in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he said, why don't you come play the Tulsa Opry, help us get it started and so forth. Anyway, I ended up moving to Tulsa. And I found out I have, on my mom's side, I have roots in the area also.
Oh, wow.
So that's really good. It's almost like I've come full circle. But it allows me to travel to the West Coast and get back, and travel to the East Coast and get back. So I do like being in the center with all the traveling. And Romania is a little farther. What?
So you have roots in Romania? You're part Romanian?
No. I have roots in Oklahoma.
I like the
Pennsylvania Dutch part and the Amish portion, because my mother is from that area over in Hershey as well, Harrisburg area, Lemoyne. So it's interesting. It's always a small world. Let's jump to your favorite moments on Hee Haw. What would you say, Jenna, of being on the show for 26 years? What were your favorite moments?
Well, you know, I was not on the show for 26 years, because when I came along, it was toward the end of the taping. It was just the last 5 years of the show. The show was going on a long time ago when I was, I wasn't even aware of the show for a while. But I was on for about the last 5 years of their taping. But we're still all really good, good friends. And I got in on the best part, I think. But anyhow, favorite moments would have to include whatever happened right before we did the cast going on camera. Like Gaylord Sartain would crack a joke and we'd all laugh. And then they'd turn, you know, the cameras would be rolling for the picking and grinning scenes, or, you know, when they had the whole cast there. And
a lot of ad-libbing, huh?
Yeah, some ad-libbing, but it was, yeah, before the camera rolled, it was definite ad-libbing and hilarious.
and chemistry.
Yeah, it was what brought us together, I think, those full cast scenes and the jokes and the sitting next to each other, and you know, she'd come in and powder our nose once in a while from, and but it was a time to we'd chat a little bit when the camera wasn't on, and I think those were the times that brought us close together. It's kind of like a great big family. And of course, it was fun because we were all laughing and having a good time. And I think that came across. That's one of the things that reached into people's lives. Yeah.
I just loved it. I was just a kid, like 12 years old, and I was just drawn to it. So and you're reuniting with all these people, right? The cornfield friends.
Yeah, we've been in touch with Sam Lovello, the producer. Just passed away last year, and they asked me to come play for his celebration. We did an actual show, and so we got a lot, many of the folks who had not only the cast, but the folks, primarily the cast, but the people who had been on Hee Haw. They were all so supportive and came to honor Sam, and it was a great, big, wonderful gathering, and that, you know, spurred a lot of ideas, and I had already asked Lulu to be on these festivals that we present in Grove on Grand Lake, Oklahoma. And that's what I'm doing this weekend. So I'd already asked Lulu. Lulu had come a couple of times to be on the shows. And I had asked Nurse Goodbody. And a few years back, I'd asked George Lindsay. He came. So I had, we've been in touch the whole time. And but this now, we're kind of organized into a tour. I still have my bus. Yeah.
Oh my!
And so we're just gonna book shows and have fun touring.
That's so amazing, Jana. When you talk about, you know, getting and reminiscing, coming back, how many stories? I would just love to be on the bus with the stories that you guys have from traveling. You know, really.
Right.
She needs to write a book. That's what she needs to do.
That's a great idea.
It is a great idea. I can hook you up with some people to help you with that.
You're kidding. No, that's right.
No, everybody needs to write a book.
Well, you know,
I've been asleep, and I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I've thought of that so many times. It's just time. You know, I'm, but if I had a good co-author, maybe that would happen.
I know a great ghostwriter for you, because nobody has time to write a book, especially you, it sounds like. We'll hook up. So,
that is wonderful. Wow. I
bet you can fill it up.
I could fill it up real fast. Yeah, been great.
I think so for sure. Again,
all right, it's done.
We're talking to Jana Jay from Hee Haw. Now let's talk about life after Hee Haw and Jana, just segue into that. After it was over, again, you're a country music star as well, not just this. Hee Haw is one of your things on your resume. So tell our listeners, especially me being an East Coast guy, you know, just learning more and more about country music in the past couple years, especially when I had Lynn Anderson on my show just before her passing. Just really all that stuff. So tell us about that.
And she has a great voice, too.
Well, I do. You know, we do a complete show. I mean, I have a wonderful band. And you know, I'll play with a symphony or whatever because I love can do all the classical. I still do chamber music, and that's quartets, you know, classical, to keep the chops up. And but anyway, the country music business is another great big extended family and so many wonderful friends. And I've played with so many, you know, comes to mind people like Kenny Rogers, Marianne on Hee Haw, you know, married Kenny. She was the gal in the swing with Fan, and she married Kenny Rogers. And we played tennis together with Buck, Marianne, Kenny, and Buck and me.
It'll be a great book.
But beyond that, you know, I've met all these wonderful Steve Warner, the Oak Ridge Boys, Roy Clark, Chet Atkins, a very close friend. Chet and I, both instrumentalists, and he had me on his show a lot. We did recording and just did a lot with Chet, and a wonderful, wonderful person. Of course, Roy Clark, all the people who were on Hee Haw, the Gatlin brothers. I just did that great big Hodag Festival last summer in Wisconsin with the Gatlins and Leroy Van Dyke and Bobby Bear.
How about Earl and Scrubs and Grandpa Jones and Glenn Campbell?
Yes, absolutely. Earl Scruggs, the last I remember, we were in New York City. That I can't think of the name of the place right now, but I had a great big lizard on top of the building and, a paper mache or whatever it was. But Lone Star, I think it was called Lone Star. Anyway, it was a great evening. And I've done other bluegrass, I've done a lot of the bluegrass festivals too. So Earl Scruggs was on some.
And you've been in Nashville, probably, obviously.
I had a place on Music Row. I had a place on Music Row. I just did last February, late January, I guess it was, Ray Stevens' Cabaret grand opening, and saw a lot of my industry friends there in Nashville.
I love Ray Stevens.
And he's a genius. He's just a marvelous guy, too.
Yeah. And
he and Chet and I all had houses there on Music Row in Nashville for a while. But I ended up being pulled to, it was so easy in Tulsa to fly all directions and so forth. And for my kids, it was a little bit of a good spot. So that's where I ended up. But I still go to Nashville all the time, of course. Love Nashville. Oh, my gosh. It has grown.
Yeah, me too. I used to own an apartment building there. I just love the place.
Absolutely amazing how it has grown. I think that, of course, Hee Haw.
It's the new L.A.
it is just incredible, the growth. The show, television reaches so many people so easily. And I think the show Nashville probably had something to do with the growth. And then the country music business, has just grown and grown. So we're all happy about that.
So, Jenna, can you plug
the
event?
What do you think of the new brand? I was going to ask, what do you think of the new brand of country? Do you like it? Or is it going kind of in the wrong direction?
Well, I always like traditional country, but I do like some of the new things. I love Gary Underwood. We've got many, many people coming out of Oklahoma, Blake Shelton and Garth Brooks and Gary Underwood. And it's kind of a crossroads. So, I like some of the things that they're all doing, but I do tend to favor, the Ray Price sound and the Hank Thompson. I love all that. That's kind of like the roots of country music. But then I really enjoy the rest. My musical tastes are as long as it's good music, I really enjoy it.
That's fantastic. So, Jenna, tell us about the projects coming. Event you're going to be performing tonight and throughout. Tell us a little bit about this, the performances coming up this weekend for you and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. This is the American Heritage Music Festival. It's our American music. And we have people coming from over 30 states. And they all converge here right in the center of the country on Grand Lake of the Cherokees, which is just beautiful. And there's a campground, a host campground, where we go jam and so forth, have a stage out there and lots of RV parking. So it's a place that a lot of people stay for this weekend. And then we have the Civic Center, which is nice and cool and air-conditioned, and that's where we have a Grand Lake National Fiddle Contest as a part of this. $1,000 first prize. You guys, it's not too late to enter. and people come from all over for that. We have a band showdown and Bluegrass to Bob Wills band showdown. And that's tomorrow. Tonight and tomorrow night, we're at this campground with barbecue dinners. And it's just, you know, it's just such a fun weekend. We have the Western Flyers coming in for Saturday night. And, of course, I'll play some, too. And I play throughout the weekend, really. And when I've got a fantastic band. And so we just have fun. And it's maybe not my regular show that I book out, but I play throughout the weekend and jam with all these fabulous players. And it's just a fun weekend for me. So that's kind of the basic picture. It's that fiddle contest brings people and, you know, instrumentalists and of all kinds, all styles of music, and the band showdown. So we just have music everywhere for a solid 3 days.
All right, Dave. Dave has such a great story, really quickly, Sharon. He has a caregiving question for you, Jenna. So go ahead, Dave, okay, with your story.
Yeah. Is my connection okay? You can hear me okay?
Yes. Yeah, we hear you perfectly.
Great. So, Jenna, I know your parents are probably elderly. Are they still alive?
I just lost my mom last year. Mm-hmm. And my dad about a year before that. Mm-hmm. So just barely gone.
So were you ever a caregiver to them?
Oh, absolutely. More my mom than my dad. But I was with both of them, you know, at the end. And, I loved that. My mom came to, when I was inducted into the Oklahoma Music Hall of Fame, and the National Fiddler Hall of Fame, she came to those, and that was in the very last year. And she was playing violin till the day before she passed. It's a very, very beautiful passing. She never missed this festival. This is the 21st year for this festival. She never missed it. Not 1 year.
Yeah.
She loved
it. My mission is just keep caregivers alive and out of the hospital, because 30% of them actually die before their loved ones do. I'm sure glad you didn't.
You're kidding. 30%?
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's amazing.
That is totally amazing.
And the lucky ones who don't die, well, they just become sicker and need a caregiver themselves. So, you know, it's an epidemic. Caregivers need to learn how to take care of themselves, not burn out.
All right, so Jenna, last question for you before we have to let you go. Where's the best place we can find information on you, Jenna, about this weekend and also other stuff on you? Where can we go? Is there a place?
Well, there are two websites. My personal website is just my name. My name is not so easy to remember, really. It's Jana J, but it's spelled J-A-N-A-J-A-E, JanaJ.com. And the festival, and from there you can link to the festivals, but the festival's website is GrandLakeFestivals.com.
Well, next year,
and that has all the scoop. That's the very best.
Jenna, yeah. Next year I need to travel out there and have a TV interview with you for sure. We'll have to stay in touch. and I appreciate you calling, Jenna. But Dave, real quick, give your website as well, Dave. Where can we go for your website as well?
There's two words you have to remember with me: Caregiver Dave. You Google that, you'll get me. I'm also at caregiverdave.com. And everything you need to know is there: how to stay alive, how to stay out of the morgue, how to stay out of the hospital.
I'm checking into that.
All right. Well, Jenna, thanks for calling. And it was great to having the, again, Caregiver Dave's segment. And take care, guys. Appreciate you calling.
Thank
a lot
you,
of fun.
Dave.
Thanks.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You're listening to Neil Haley's show. We'll be back in just a moment.
All right.